Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on a rainy Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Fine. Stayed out of the rain. Kieser, how about you?
I'm good. Can't complain. Lots of old friends are in town for this basketball tournament, eh?
I've seen that. Elijah Campbell in town with that
Yes.
Flowing locks covering the South Carolina Gamecocks. Michelle Perry in town this weekend as well, along with half of the state of Kentucky. So a lot of Wildcats out there, Joe. A lot of blue walking around.
A lot of blue walk around, no doubt. Definitely saw that yesterday. They got in early to really plant those roots and get ready for a Friday night game. So, hey, come on in, spend the money. You saved all year for this. Come on in and spend the money, and be ready for the Magical Mystery Tour with the Wildcats. And yep, Elijah Campbell still has the elite flow, no doubt about it.
And more hits on Paul Feinbaum too, Joe.
Yeah,
what's that?
We got a TV celebrity with us, Rex Road, on Feinbaum yesterday.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I we haven't gotten the numbers yet, but I assume Rich Dyche will report later today on Twitter that his ratings had a crazy spike at 4:30 yesterday. So
yeah,
that'll be my expectation.
Did he call you Rex Rod, Rex Road? Did Feinbaum nail the name, or how'd that go?
No, I'm Joe Rexrod to him. In fact, I considered this for the ramp. Since you brought it up, I'll do something else. But yes, Paul, I like Paul a lot. Great guy. Has a heck of a show. A legend here in these parts. And he's got me as Joe Rexrod. It's fine. It's fine.
Did the Hilltopper that was with you on the air, did he call you Rexrod as well?
He did not. Is that your buddy?
Yeah, Matt Stahl.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, I should have asked. I should have thought about that. We were talking, and he told me he went to WKU. He didn't address me by my last name, but now he probably thinks, "Hey, what's up, Joe Rexrod? Good to see you, buddy." Next time he sees me, so Paul Feinbaum is making my life difficult. But no, look, it's just like any teacher. Most of the first days of school of my life. I had to correct Rex Rod to Rex Road. And these, those are school teachers who, there's an E on the end, so it should be a long vowel. But hey, man, things happen. The English language is weird.
Cody on the text line says, Joe Rex Rod, WTF, Paul Fine Bum. Oh, you could go the other way. Go Fine Bum to him.
Ooh, man. Oh, wow.
That'd be disrespectful. Can't do that to Paul.
Yeah, Paul's, he's a nice guy. I think at one point I don't know if it's recorded or not here, but he said something like, well, you've been here in media and the local paper and various other exciting adventures or something like that. I was like, what are you talking about right now, Paul?
He's a regular listener to the Robbie and Rex Road program, clearly. Various other exciting adventures. There's no question.
I think so. So, yeah. But yeah, that was fun. And today we've got, we got the good stuff on the court gets going today.
Good stuff on the court gets going. And we'll see how the Vols handle their matchup today. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. We got a lot to get to on the program. Jared Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock. TD coming up at 8. Teron Davenport. We'll get into what the Titans have done in free agency with him. Joe, we begin with Vanderbilt and Jerry Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse is out as Vanderbilt's head coach. Not that that is some big surprise after the way that this season has gone down, but after 5 years, it is official, and Vanderbilt will be moving in a different direction and will be hiring another men's basketball coach. What did you make of – I thought, and there was more reaction to it yesterday when we got off the air, I saw from Vanderbilt fans – like a reflective Jerry Stackhouse in his press conference the other night after they were eliminated in the SEC tournament. And then, of course, yesterday, the move officially being made. But what did you make of this move, the fact that it's actually done? Because I know there were some Vanderbilt fans that didn't believe it was going to happen. And now where Vanderbilt goes from here with Jerry Stackhouse out as head coach.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, it's technically a mutual parting ways, which is interesting.
Correct.
So, you know, of course, one thing I thought on that was like, does that mean that there's some reduction in the buyout? And of course, that would be his decision. Frankly, I mean, I would hope not. I mean, if I'm him, take every last cent. He actually had a quote he gave me a few years ago, like, you know, basically like, I will take every cent or whatever. That's, but again, as he should, as anybody should. But it, yeah, I mean, I suppose it could just be read as very simply, he looked at the situation and said, and if you really can and step outside of yourself a little bit as a coach in that situation, and there's no way it's easy. But I mean, again, I compare this a little bit to Butch Jones in 2017, where it's like once it gets so negative, it just in college sports, like you can't come back from that. Like if the fan base is totally out on a coach, is that the most important thing? I mean, you know, could you win and do all the things you need to do with your job independent of fan support and be successful? Yes, but it's really hard. It's really hard, especially the way, you know, everything is discussed. Everybody can get at everybody. So maybe it is as simple as he looked at it and said, this is, you know, it's just no one wants me here anymore. The Vanderbilt fans don't want me here anymore. So you know what? Let's just do this. But again, I mean, if I'm him, I'm also like, I want every last cent of that buyout.
Sure,
So,
yeah.
but look, it's regardless of all of it, it's the right decision. I absolutely believe. Like Candace Lee, when she gave him an extension a couple of years ago, it's not, I mean, it's because she really thinks he's good, you know? And honestly, I still think and fully that he's a good basketball coach, that he's a good developer of talent, all those things. For whatever reason, he can't recruit. For whatever reason, he maybe doesn't evaluate well enough, you know, or maybe it's just a matter of, you know, getting it done, the recruiting trail. Certainly some challenges at Vanderbilt. But not to the extent that, you know, basically his classes were a bunch of three stars, you know? It's just like you have to do better than that. Bryce Drew did way better than that. Bryce Drew had other issues, you know, that, you know, so people right now wishing for Bryce Drew. I mean, let's not forget what happened at the end of his tenure. It was bad. Even though it was a fast tenure. So, be interesting to see what happens with Stackhouse. You know, I think probably NBA assistant coach is the next step. And I think he could be an NBA coach someday and be good. And Vanderbilt, you know, I know Vanderbilt fans now are kind of conditioned to lose with this program, but I think there's a lot of things in place, including the collective, that should make this an attractive job to other coaches.
So, to that point, I mean, you know, Vanderbilt fans were throwing out all sorts of names yesterday. I'm interested to see where this search goes, who ends up being hired here by Vanderbilt, what that looks like, and you know what the approach is, I guess, from Candace Lee. Now, remember, she did not hire Jerry Stackhouse, so this will be her first men's basketball hire coming up when this decision is made. And I'm interested to see kind of what the approach is here. I mean, when Malcolm Turner hired Jerry Stackhouse, I mean, it was an eye-opening move, right? Like I remember the day that that was announced, thinking, "Oh, Jerry Stackhouse is coming to Vanderbilt," and the star power that came with that. And you know, he had obviously, you know, people were talking about him one day, very shortly after that, maybe being a future head coach at North Carolina, going back to his alma mater. And obviously, it didn't work out in Vanderbilt. So I'm interested to see what the approach is from Vanderbilt. Is that hiring from a lower level already in college basketball? Do you go another NBA assistant route? Like, what's the next step for Vanderbilt, and what's the approach from Candace Story Lee is going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they'll use a search firm. Basically, every hire does now. You know, that's the thing. I don't know what Malcolm Turner did. I mean, I think that he coveted Jerry Stackhouse. You know, both North Carolina guys, but you know, Jerry had. I think he had just won like G League Coach of the Year. It was an outside the box hire. Malcolm Turner was an outside the box hire. It was an outside the box hire making an outside the box hire. You know what you see a lot. Well, not just in college sports. I was going to say what you see a lot in college sports. I mean, you see it like in the NFL too. It's like, whatever the last coach was, and then it got bad, then you're going to do the other thing. I think Vanderbilt is absolutely going to go the traditional route, which is what you should do. You know, look, the NBA coach thing in college basketball has not gone well, you know, repeatedly now. And I just think that now, granted, the college game has changed so much. I was going to say, I keep saying what I was going to say. I was going to say, you know, you need someone who's in Cal, who's been there for a long time, who knows the lay of the land, who knows how you build a program, recruiting, all that stuff. I mean, a lot of this stuff is brand new for people the last few years, right? Yeah. So, but I still feel like being in college athletics is for a long time is still a benefit. And there's still a lot about building a program that it helps to have done it in college athletics, you know? So I think, you know, look, the obvious name, Chris Mack, his daughter's playing volleyball at Vanderbilt. She, you know, she's going to be on the volleyball program when it gets started, I believe next year. You know, that's not a reason to hire someone, but that's a guy who has had high level success, didn't go well at Louisville, you know, some questions there for sure, but he's kind of an obvious possibility. But there's a lot of good mid-major coaches out there. There always are, you know. I mean, look at even the SEC now, LSU and Florida. I mean, like, there's always, and Mississippi State, you know, good mid-major coaches, or if not mid-major, you know, not Power Five coaches who, you know, are worth pursuing. And I think there's a lot of good possibilities for Vanderbilt.
Hey, Will Wade's out there. It could really spice this thing up, get fun, and we get some wiretaps here on the program. Be nice.
Hey, let me tell you something. You joke, but that dude went to McNeese State and like in a year there in the NCAA tournament for the first time in forever. Like, I mean, I don't think that it would happen because like there's still like, you know, because of all the stuff that happened and like it's Vanderbilt. I think that that would still be a deterrent, but you know what? Who cares now? I don't care. Do you get play? I mean, you know, everybody's getting players basically the same way now.
You don't need the wire anymore.
Exactly.
Don't even have to worry about it.
Exactly. And the dude can obviously coach and he's from Nashville. So look, every time Vanderbilt opens, I say it and I mean it, and they should mean it. I don't know if they'll mean it seriously, but Casey Alexander should get an absolute serious look. Absolute serious look. I think sometimes it hurts a coach like that to be so close to the Power Five program, right?
Yeah.
You know, but hey, man, the guy can coach. There is no doubt. So, but there are others too. You know, the Indiana State coach,
yeah.
Scherzer. I mean, he's done fantastic. So there's a lot of possibilities. I expect, you know, us to hear about 3 to 5, you know, maybe a handful of these guys and Vanderbilt to pick one of them. I think Vanderbilt will be a very attractive job for a lot of coaches.
Jerry Stackhouse out at Vanderbilt. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Vols in action today in the SEC tournament with their matchup as well. We'll get into that and the SEC tournament and what we expect coming up this weekend at Bridgestone Arena. All that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Make sure you tune in to 1025-1063, The Game today and all weekend long for updates for the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Toyota, and Guinness. Joe, speaking of the SEC Tournament today, Tennessee kicks things off today, coming up at noon, taking on Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Auburn after that, Texas A&M and Kentucky tonight at 6 o'clock, and then the nightcap, Florida and Alabama at 8:30. So a busy day at the SEC tournament over at Bridgestone Arena. Tennessee taking on Mississippi State, which as you pointed out yesterday, Joe, the only SEC team that Tennessee did not beat this year. So
that's right.
Maybe some revenge on the mind for the Vols today.
Yeah, there's that. And of course there's Mississippi State's bubble status, which is, I feel like they're in by winning yesterday. I think they're going to be okay, but you know, if you're them, you should know if you get this win, if you get a second win over Tennessee, that's about as good as you can get, beating a right now projected one seed on a neutral site, or projected one or two. I guess Lenardi dumped him to the two again.
He's a hater.
Yeah. Well, he, you know, makes to pretend like every single game changes a team seed line, you know, here as we get down to the end. But the committee, by the way, has already laid out its one seeds. I'm pretty confident Tennessee's one of them, but yeah, we'll see how the weekend goes. Does not help North Carolina that Duke lost to NC State.
Yeah.
That's because that's the most valuable win you can get. However, Pittsburgh is a quad one win opportunity for North Carolina today, as is Mississippi State for the Vols. So Mississippi State would lock itself in. I still think they're in. And Tennessee, if they want to win, you got to win this one. You got to win this one. I think there probably is a little revenge on the mind. It's look, there's two guys for Mississippi State who are just really difficult to deal with. Tolu Smith, big man, and, you know, he had a big game against the Vols first time. And then Josh Hubbard, the freshman, who's freshman of the year most years, but, you know, Reed Shepard and these guys at Kentucky are just ridiculous. But Josh Hubbard is a 5'10", just absolute limitless shooter who I thought he was fantastic yesterday doing everything for them. So those two guys, if you can contain them, then you're in pretty good shape against Mississippi State.
What do you think the key is to getting Vescovi going? We were talking to Rick Barnes about that the other day, and his message was basically, yeah, we want him to shoot. Like, we're not telling him not to shoot the ball, but it's not been – well, I mean, just the volume has not been anywhere near what it has been, which I think is good. Like, I think with the weapons they have, they don't need Vescovi shooting as much as he has been the last couple of years. I do think they've got to get more out of him offensively than they've gotten lately. And I do think there could be, you know, a confidence issue there. What do you make of what it's going to take to get him going as tournament time is now here?
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting the lowest percentage. He went from 13-3 to 6-8 a game. He's the most direct, I guess, you know, non-beneficiary of Dalton Connect offensively. And I hear what Rick Barnes is saying, but also that I think you need to try to intentionally get him some shots. I really do. You know, run some more things for him, you know, just to get him some looks. Yeah, I think sometimes he's hesitating and he's just not making when he gets a chance. But if you get five shots, you know, in a game, last game, just randomly here and there, it's hard, you know, just like we talked about. It's the goalie who sees nothing, and then and then all of a sudden here it is coming at you, a 2-on-1 at the end of the period. I mean, like, it's good to get some steady work. Not saying they need to make sure they get him 15 shots, but like, run a few things and try to get him going. Cause I've seen this before with shooters. I swear it's so often seniors too at this time of a season. And I've also seen when those shooters, if they can hit a couple, kind of get confidence, like the whole team knows. I mean, they all know that he's struggling and that, you know, he doesn't have a lot of confidence in his shot, which they've seen him, these guys who are veterans have seen him carry them at times with his shooting. And it's like, you cannot give him an inch or he'll kill you. I mean, that seriously has been stretches of Tennessee basketball the last 2 years. So it's hard, man. It's mental. Obviously, so much of sports is. And that's why I just think the Vols need to, like, intentionally get him shots, try to get him going a little bit. And I think that's actually a lift for the team if it can happen. It would be really good for them heading into the big tournament.
Well, if Tennessee's able to win today, they'll take on the winner of South Carolina and Auburn, which, by the way, should be a fun game. Looking forward to South Carolina and Auburn a little bit later today. But I'm with you, pulling for Auburn, and then maybe a little bit more of a track meet tomorrow against Tennessee.
Yes, Auburn would be a more enjoyable game. There is no doubt about it. But I have nothing but respect for South Carolina. Nothing, you know, their freshman big man, Colin Murray Boyles, he is, in fact, our draft guy, Sam Vecini, who will slack me at the weirdest times because he lives in Australia. He's been slacking me about the Stackhouse thing. He's got a first-round grade on him now. And he is just tremendous. But apparently he said this week he's coming back. Now, you know, like Sam said on our blog, like, they get to the Sweet 16 and he's lighting it up. You know, people can change their mind, but regardless, he's a special player. I love South Carolina, but yes, Auburn would be a much more enjoyable game. Today is going to be, I mean, today is fantastic. Yeah. Just the, I mean, really all four games. I mean, Florabama is going to be a really fun game to close it out. And obviously, the Cats fans can scream and squeal like 15-year-old girls in the Beatles showed up in America in 1963 when the Cats come out tonight.
That's the one that I don't know that's going to be all that good. We'll see. But we'll see what Texas A&M brings. If Kentucky seems like they did against Tennessee, they're going to win by 35.
Yeah. I mean, Texas A&M beat them. Yeah, that was a while ago, and it was at home. So, and Texas A&M, absolutely right on that bubble, too. Right on that bubble. So this is a probably get in game for them if they can get it. So you know, those two guards can go nuts, and that's exactly what they're going to have to do. But Kentucky, I mean, the last time we saw Kentucky play that kind of shooting, good luck to anybody.
Well, I'll take more of your thoughts on the SEC men's basketball tournament going on today at Bridgestone Arena. We'll also get into the Titans as well, including a couple of different scenarios that we briefly touched on yesterday regarding the draft that I think are very interesting for the Titans now that they've signed Calvin Ridley. We'll get into all that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Today is Vanderbilt baseball takes on Auburn at Hawkins Field with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we kind of closed out the show yesterday discussing the way that free agency could affect the draft board for the Titans. And with Kirk Cousins signing with the Atlanta Falcons, we've talked about teams maybe trying to jump ahead of Atlanta if they're interested in the quarterback market, be that a J.J. McCarthy or whoever else. To jump in front of Atlanta, maybe the Titans could be a good trade partner and you could move down if you're the Titans. Well, now that Atlanta has Cousins, you would think that Atlanta is probably out of the quarterback market as it relates to their first-round pick this year. So maybe that changes things up for the Titans that way. And then another development last night as Keenan Allen is traded away from the LA Chargers to the Chicago Bears, which, like, you hate to play this game, Joe, you know, because it usually something gets shaken up in this process. But I even saw Dane Brugler last night tweeting about this. I mean, it's pretty easy to connect the quarterback dots to the first three teams here with Chicago, Washington, and New England. And after that, it's pretty easy to connect the wide receiver dot to Arizona, now LA, and with the Giants. So it could be a scenario, if it goes straight chalk like that, where the Titans are going to have their pick of whatever tackle they want at number 7 without having to worry about it. Again, it's March the 15th, so a lot of things can change between now and then. But that's the Keenan Allen move yesterday makes me view the LA part of this a little bit differently too.
Yeah, it's hard not to let your mind go there. Excuse me. Someone on the text line was like, you sound like you woke up 2 minutes ago. I said, I woke up 4 minutes ago. However, that was after a nap after our four-hour pre-show meeting.
Izzo was bringing it today, man. He had passion in the meeting.
He's pumped. They got a big win over Minnesota yesterday. They're about to get destroyed by Purdue today. So I think he wanted to put more energy into this job than into that job, because Zach Edey's going for 40 anyway on him. So, but, yeah, look, Dane Brugler, as soon as that trade was announced, like somebody announced on Twitter, and Brugler quote tweeted, it was like QB, 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 wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. There you go.
Yep.
That's it. And look, I think right now it's clearly the most likely, as you said, someone could get in there and upset the apple cart. But if that happens to me, then it's very simple. You are sticking at 7 and you are taking who you believe is the best left tackle on this board and just prosper from there. That's it. It's kind of boring. Like, it's not as exciting as last year when, you know, it's like, ooh, do they want Stroud? What are they going to do? You know, and all this stuff. But I think sometimes simplicity is a great thing.
Well, it is interesting now from the standpoint of, like, that fourth quarterback, whoever it's going to be, who's going to make the move to get him. Because the Atlanta part of this, I think, really complicates things, because had they not signed Kirk Cousins and then shipped off Desmond Ridder, you would think, well, they'd certainly be in the quarterback market if they weren't able to figure that out in free agency. And let's say Kirk Cousins went back to Minnesota. Well, not obviously he hasn't. So, I mean, you look around the Titans. I mean, do I think the Giants could use another quarterback? Yeah, but they just signed Daniel Jones to all that money, so that's probably not happening this year. I mean, Minnesota, for sure, in the quarterback market. Denver, for sure. I would put the Raiders in there too. But which of those teams, like, where would you have to move up in order to get one of those guys if you're one of those teams? Because Atlanta, I think, is out of the picture. So are you then trading maybe with Chicago at number 9, who's already presumably taken Caleb Williams at that point? You know, the Jets probably need an offensive tackle at number 10, so I don't see them being totally interested in moving around that much because they really need offensive line help, even though I'm sure at some point David Bakhtiari will end up on the Jets and the ghost of him will play left tackle. We'll see what happens there. But like, just trying to identify where that quarterback move is going to come from, I probably Chicago at 9 makes the most sense now.
Yeah, well, the Packers may need a secret serviceman if Aaron Rodgers is going to be VP. So, you know,
he's with the Jets now. He's not my problem anymore.
I guess that would probably be an offensive lineman anyway, right? Probably get an offensive tackle, biggest guy you can get. But yeah, I think that that's. I think you nailed it. I mean, Chicago to me, now, yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe Chicago's like Brock Bowers. Let's go. Let's load up for Caleb. And Justin is now a slot receiver. But I would say that would be probably the most likely team to bail out of there. And that's probably around where one of those teams would want to. I'm sure one of them will. And look, again, I'm probably higher on J.J. McCarthy than some people are. But I still get wary of like fourth QB in a draft and, well, we need a quarterback. So let's move up and let's just hope. I mean, this guy is not as good as the other guys, but maybe he'll be awesome too. You know, I feel like
well, some people think Drake May is going to slide down, which I still don't know that I believe. But some people think Drake May is going to be a big slider here in the draft.
Is there anyone? So I've seen Chris Sims. I think it's Sims.
Sims is definitely one.
Thinks he's terrible.
Yeah.
Is there anybody credible who thinks he's like, is that's gonna happen?
I don't, not that I've seen.
It's just him,
it's
right?
It's just weird conversation around him. Like it feels like one of those classic, you get to the draft and it's not the same situation as CJ Stroud last year, but it's similar. Like there's all this talk about Stroud and the S2 and Stroud, he could slide, and then he ends up going number two in the draft and you're like, okay, well, all that was a bunch of crap. That's kind of how I feel like this is gonna go with Drake May.
Yeah, for sure. But that was like at least there was, even though it was misinformation, at least there was a reason, you know?
Right.
I know that you can, I mean, I've watched enough Drake May at times like, ooh, man, that's a bad pick, you know? So yeah. he's not perfect, but God, I think he's definitely going to go in the top three. I don't think there's any question. Like, I got to see somebody other than Chris Sims who's down on him. Chris Sims, who, I know that at one point he put out like, and this is, you know, whatever. Oh, I was big on Mahomes and all this stuff. I'm like, give me the audio of you at the time talking about Patrick Mahomes for the draft. I need that. Also, I do know that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you were like, Zach Wilson is amazing. Now, he wasn't alone on that. So I guess you got to be fair with that one because a lot of people were doing that.
Titans legend, Chris Sims. Let's get it right.
Is that right?
Yeah, man.
I didn't realize that.
I think he was
how long was that cup of coffee?
I think he was on like the, I don't think he was ever actually on the team. I think he was there for like a preseason.
Okay. Oh, good to know. Yeah.
I'm sure I could find like preseason tape of Chris Sims slinging the ball around for the Titans.
Just a little hot takey. Seems like he's a little bit like trying to be noticed with hot takes, but I could be wrong. It just kind of seems that way from afar.
So if it plays out this way, let's say it goes Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, 1, 2, 3 to Chicago, Washington, New England. And then the next three are Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze to Arizona, LA, and the Giants. I mean, that leaves you Joe Alt if you're the Titans. That leaves you Fasnow if you're the Titans. Is that a good scenario? If the choice of those top three receivers is taken away and it is clearly a tackle pick, which I think it's probably trending towards clearly a tackle pick anyway at this point, but is that a good scenario for the Titans if that's the way things shake out?
Did you just call him faster now?
I don't think so. I think, okay. I said fast now, but
it's fast new, right?
Fast new, whatever.
We might need to know, because that's my pick. That's my pick. So we have
baby
time.
Hands.
Yeah, I don't care. I think
a lot of people talking about that right now. By the way,
the baby hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not upset either way. Like I said yesterday, sometimes it'd be nice if like someone else just took one off the board. It's like, well, okay, we're going. This is where, and this was always our guy. You know, whoever's left for you, this was always our number one. But hey, if you actually have the choice, we'll know. We'll know their evaluation. And I just feel like after you look at everything, I mean, the hands would be like the one knock. It is kind of interesting to be that big of a dude and have baby hands. But I mean, again, you give up no sacks, and even though the Big Ten, I mean, the Big Ten does have the national champion, you know, it's not great across the board. The pass rushers at Michigan, Ohio State alone, that says something to me. So I think he's more polished than people give him credit for. But yeah, it's one of those two, right?
Yes.
I mean, unless you're Mike Mayock and you're going to take like the eighth tackle on the board to show everybody how smart you are.
Well, you could do that. I mean, look, I think it's a good situation for the Titans. I think they clearly are going to have to take a left tackle. As much as I love the idea of a Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers in here, but you have to find a left tackle at some point. And I know there's still, and I've seen this still from Titans fans of, even after Ridley, well, just take either Adunze or Nabers if they're there, get you a left tackle in the second round and let Bill Callahan coach him up. And I get that line of thinking. I think I subscribe more to the, yeah, give Bill Callahan an elite prospect to work with and see what that, yeah, what that does for you and how, I guess, polished that player can become with him as their coach.
Exactly. And look, we don't know the Titans evaluations, and it may be closer than, maybe closer than like the mock draft land has, you know, where it's like these two guys, you know, I mean, we know how it's slotted that way. Titans may have a different evaluation, but yeah, I think you have to go there at that spot. You go with the absolute best talent you can go with. Speaking of Callahan, you know, Cushenberry, you know, in his comments this week, I assume Ridley will talk today. That would be my assumption, but Cushenberry went right to why'd you come here? Bill Callahan. Yep. So he's a recruiting. I mean, Bill Callahan is like a loaded collective in the SEC, man. He's a recruiting boon.
He is. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans, how free agency has impacted the draft board. We'll take your thoughts on all that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Raindrops are falling on my head. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser. Nick Kieser feeling himself a little bit. Well done, Nick. Way to go.
Yes, I always try to feel the mood.
You did well.
Thank you, sir.
Rex Road, do you like this song?
Why do you ask? Because I'm old?
Well, you just... yes.
I mean, not really. I actually kind of hate this song. I just thought it was funny that we were playing this song, but actually, I rather hate it. Thank you. I think Nick knew that.
Add one for the rant.
I mean, it's better than Creed, okay?
Easy. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Friend of the show.
Mark Stepp and Paul City. Feinbaum. Love my name.
What a combo. Mark from Ashland City on the text line. I 100% agree that the obvious choice is left tackle, but I just can't get over the elite touchdown score versus elite non-touchdown score quote. And that brings me to Brock Bowers. I'm honestly wondering how they view Bowers and Chig as well. This is from Mark in Ashland City on the text line. I've made no secret about it, Joe. I love Brock Bowers. And if they drafted Brock Bowers, I'm sure there would probably be people that had a problem with that. I would not be one of those people. I'd say, yep, I get it. You think that guy's going to be an absolute stud at the NFL level for a decade. So I would understand it. I'd be surprised at this point if that's the way they went. But how much consideration would you give to that? Let's say it plays out the way we just threw out their last segment. And the first three picks are quarterbacks, and the next three picks are wide receiver. How much consideration would you give to Bowers at 7?
Look, I mean, I get it, and I'd have to be tempted. And if I'm in that room, and I mean, based on what I see, yeah, the guy could be absolutely ridiculous. So I would have to be tempted some, but I mean, like in that room, it would have to be like there's just no doubt this is going to be like one of those tight ends we talk about 10, 15 years from now, like, you know, Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates and Travis Kelce. That's who this is. So you can't pass up the opportunity for that. It can't be, man, he's going to be really, really good, you know? And it's just hard, you know, it's just hard to know exactly. I think he's amazing, But unless you are convinced that it's that, then you have to go left tackle to me.
Santa in Portland says, here's an idea I've not heard, and maybe because it's a bad idea, but subsequent to the moves they're made inside the receiver room, is it possible that they would go tackle at 7 and 38? One, I guess left tackle at 7, right tackle at 38. I think that's way more possible today than it was this time 48 hours ago.
I think it's, you know, I think it's always best available if you can do best available. But you also, like, you can't just go independent of need. And when you're a team that has needs that are so severe in some spots that, like, you know, the most important people on your team could get hurt if you don't address them, then I think need creeps up a little bit. I think second round is best available. Could be a receiver, could be an edge. If you get your left tackle in the first round, it's like, there's our starting right tackle right there. And now this offensive line is completely redone. And with Cushenberry, Skoronski coming on, and these two tackles, this is going to be one of the great lines in offensive. You know, I keep talking all this hyperbole as they sit in the draft room. But long story short, sure, if you think that that's the best player available and it's your starting right tackle for the long term after you got your starting left tackle for the long term, okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think best available is a boring answer, but it's the one that should be the case. Like, that should be what they do, right? At both spots, right? If you think – I do think need creeps in at 7. Like, you got to find a left tackle. And hopefully one of those tackles is the best available, or at least close to it, at the time that makes your decision pretty easy if you're the Titans. I think certainly as you move into the second round where you've already signed Calvin Ridley, so it's not like – I mean, receiver is still a need, in my opinion. And I said that yesterday – I'd still be looking heavy at receiver. Like, it's, but if you didn't go receiver at 38, it's not the end of the world when you do have Calvin Ridley in the fold now. So I think best available really comes into play there, where you've addressed, I think, your need in the first round at left tackle. And then whether it is an edge, whether it's, you know, a wide receiver, whatever that, a right tackle, whatever that is at 38. By the way, I mean, I don't know who's playing alongside Jeffrey Simmons right now, because all these people keep getting signed. You know, Armstead goes yesterday to Jacksonville. There's a big hole on the defensive
Reader goes
line
to Lions.
Right now. Yeah, Reader goes to Lions. There's a big hole on the defensive line right now that they're going to have to get filled somehow, some way, Joe.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, the way you know, now that you may have to deal with that is, like someone mentioned, like Tavondre Sweat in the second round yesterday. I mean, you may have to think more along those lines. Again, like, I mean, best available does have to be a guiding principle. But Jeffrey Simmons without Autry, without Tart, and not bringing in any of these guys, these top shelf guys, I'm sure there'll be some kind of moves there, but yeah, you may really have to look at that in the draft.
How about this one? Robert from Spring Hill says, do the Titans have anything they could use possibly to get Chicago's 9th pick in the draft, the way you could get someone like Bowers and the left tackle, similar to what Houston did last year in the draft when they moved up and they got Stroud and Anderson back-to-back? Now, Houston had a lot of draft ammunition. The Titans do not. So I would think that'd be pretty unlikely. But that is an interesting thought from Robert.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Like, I don't think that there's a veteran trade that you'd consider or they consider. I mean, I guess anytime we talk about that with the Titans, it's Jeffrey Simmons, right? I guess you could, like, offer up your first and 25, and the Bears would be like, well, they are going to stink this year, so – that looks pretty good, but I'd be surprised if you could pull that off. I mean, it'd be great. That's the thing with the Texans. Like you said, Robbie, I mean, look, the whole Watson thing ended up being really good for them because they had all kinds of draft capital to throw at people.
They did. And that was even higher in the draft with 2 and 3. So, I mean, that was a lot of expense. Like, the Titans don't have the ammunition, right? I mean, they don't have enough ammunition this year. I mean, they don't have a third-round pick this year that they're currently dealing with. I just can't see them getting into a scenario like that. I mean, the trade back scenario is interesting with collecting more picks. I just wonder who that's going to be now with Atlanta, getting out of the quarterback. Like the quarterback market, you needed Atlanta to be a player because somebody needed to be scared to death of trying to get their quarterback before Atlanta. And now that Cousins is there in Atlanta, that kind of gets taken away from you if you're the Titans.
Right. I mean, I think it's the Raiders, Vikings, Broncos are all together and they're probably all jousting to get Chicago's pick, which probably is going to work out real well for Chicago. I'd imagine that'll probably juice up the market pretty well. But yeah, I think the Titans are sticking. But again, with everything the way it's played out, with the Chargers, I think going receiver, staying at seven is the move, I think.
I think so too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on what the Titans have done to this point in free agency. Make sure you're tuned in for that. Join 1025-1063 The Game and Guinness for Pinewood Madness Patio SEC Watch Party today. 1025 The Game will be broadcasting live from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stop by and enter for your chance to win tickets to see Green Day. You can also showcase your skills in Pinewood Social's arcade basketball game competition, win tournament tickets, and watch all the televised game on their jumbo LED screen. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.